Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This just in, hot off the bench press. Planet Fitness has added new strength equipment. Save $28 or more when you join today, and you can be one of the first to try it out. We're raising the bar with new benches, and our new hack squat will have you actually looking forward to leg day. Plus, we're still repping all of the best-in-class equipment we've always had, with most clubs open 24 hours, so you can work out your way on your time. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 10th. See home club for details.
Swinging a high drive into center field, hits at the wall, it is gone! Passes does it again!
Again!
It's gone! It's into the bullpen! This game is tied! This game is tied!
And he swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, strike three, it's over! The Red Sox have won the World Championship!
What's up? Welcome back to Play Tessie. It is episode 166. This is the official Red Sox podcast at WEI. Before we get going, hit that subscribe button. We really appreciate it when you guys subscribe to the podcast wherever you're listening. Hit the thumbs up on YouTube. Subscribe on podcast platforms. Subscribe to WEI on YouTube. Rate us 5 stars on the podcast platforms. Find us on the socials at Play Tessie on both Twitter and Instagram. I'm here with Sammy. I'm here with Pat. It's our first time all together, the three of us, since the new year. Happy New Year to you guys. I'd ask for your New Year's Red Sox resolutions, but I imagine they'd come out something like spend some money, make the playoffs. Am I wrong?
Yeah. Alex Bregman, sign that guy. Checks a lot of boxes. I like the make the playoffs thing. Those were fun back in the day when the Red Sox would make the playoffs. If you make the playoffs, you have a chance to win the World Series. That's the way it works. So that's fun to me. Sorry if that's a hot take.
Just make the damn playoffs, man. I want to see them spend money, and like, they haven't yet. And I feel like I'm ready to like not go in on them, because that's not right. There's still too many guys left on the market and too much left to happen to truly go in on them. But like, I'm feeling anxious is the wrong word, but I'm starting to get a little bit uneasy, not because they haven't spent to date, but just because of what we know out there and what we know generally is the feeling right now with them. But Pat, New Year's resolutions, anything besides spend the money and make the playoffs? I know their resolution is to make the money, but spend the money, make the playoffs. Anything else than that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't even care about spending money. Just upgrade the lineup. All we've heard for 3 months now is elite production from the right side, and they're not in on guys like Bregman. We haven't heard boo on Drix and Profar. Just trade for, say, a Suzuki for all I care. Just do something. Do anything else that can be identified as a splash.
All right, I'm going to ask you guys a question here, and I'll give my answer first. Because, like, do we all agree that the top priority right now needs to be, like, the top priority is the right-handed bat right now? They've upgraded the rotation. Yeah. So top priority is right-handed bat. On the scale of free agent signing being the move there to, and this is like what you think will happen, free agent signing is going to be the move to, trade is going to be the move. Where do you stand on that spectrum? Because I'm like 70% trade at this point.
I think I lean free agent, and I'm sure we'll talk about Bregman, but I just feel like the fit is so good compared to the other options. It's a better fit than any of the other options. I just think it's going to happen eventually. I think it might get dragged out, but
so you're so optimistic.
Yeah. Fairly.
The update here, if you want all the latest, if you haven't been keeping up, I know it's the holidays, New Year. Happy New Year to all the listeners, the PT listeners. We appreciate every single one of you. The update was Robert Murray, who tapped in as anyone, said he doesn't think Bregman to the Red Sox is the likeliest scenario. John Heyman, obviously the Scott Boras guy, said that the Tigers and Jays are the most likely, so you can take that however you want. Like either he's super tapped in or there's a reason he's being told that. And then Ken Rosenthal today, as we're recording, came out and said that he still, if he were to predict today, would say that he thinks Bregman still ends up with the Red Sox. Pats on the spectrum, the right-handed bat on the free agent to trade spectrum. Where are you? Where do you think it's coming from?
I'm 50-50. I'm 50-50 because I am like the majority of every single Red Sox fan. Alex Bregman is so clearly the best fit to be that right-handed bat. That being said, if it's not Bregman on the agent market, I think it's trade.
And yeah.
It could be guys like I said, Saya Suzuki, Correa, we threw him out. Or maybe there's just guys that we don't know about. Maybe like Luis Robert is more available than we think. Maybe, God forbid, they're poking around like Nicholas Castellanos, something like that. Yeah, I think if it's not Bregman, it's a trade. But I think we still have a decent shot at Bregman. That's why I'm 50-50 right now.
The reason I'm not further towards the because I'm 70% towards trade. Like I am being swayed by what we're hearing both like from in the media and like behind closed doors, like what we hear. It doesn't sound promising. That's why my head is there. That said, that stuff, and Pat, you brought this point up on the last podcast or two podcasts ago about Crochet. Is that we were hearing those same things with Crochet, and then all of a sudden something changed and they went in. I don't know what's going to change here. We've had this discussion, like what could change that hasn't already occurred now to make them go in after Bregman. But the only reason I'm not further along is what you guys are saying, is that the logic screams that it should be Bregman. That the fit for what he would do here, second base in year one, Campbell starts out in left field. Year two, you hope Massa builds up his value and can be flipped. Devers moves to DH. Bregman a third. Your middle infield is Story and Meyer, however you want to align them. Like, it fits perfectly, and he's the right-handed bat that doesn't strike out much. He's the leader this team needs. And guess what? This team not only has money to spend, but said they were going to spend. So everything makes sense to make Alex Bregman happen. The only thing that isn't there is it just doesn't quite feel like the Red Sox are fully sold on him, and how they're acting kind of shows that. So that's the thing that's holding me back. Logic would push me in the direction of Bregman's gonna happen, but everything we hear just makes it seem like it's not.
Well, if you're looking for an inkling of hope, I would point to JD Martinez. The way he signed with the Red Sox, they kind of waited out his market, knowing that he's a good player. But, you know, at the time he was, I believe, 30, 31, similar age to Bregman. He was an outfielder, but everyone knew he was kind of headed towards that DH role. So while he was good at the time, could still hit, he didn't have much of a market for the reasons I just listed. With Bregman, it's not a perfect comparison, but he's 31 years old. He wants 6-7 years. That's a lot to give to a guy who's past 30. And, he hasn't been as good as he once was over the last 2-3 seasons. Now, he's still been productive. He still plays great third base defense. Who knows how he's going to look at second if he plays there. But the market for him doesn't seem crazy. Gordo, you mentioned it's the Blue Jays and the Tigers. The Tigers seem most aggressive. I saw a report out of Detroit today that they want to go 5 years. Bregman wants 6. I can't imagine wanting to live in Detroit for 6 years. But hey, that's what baseball's like. You want that extra year. So I think, and this is my prediction on what's going to happen with Bregman, and I'm not super confident in this whatsoever, but if I had to choose, I think he's not going to sign until early February. And I think it'll be with the Red Sox. I think it'll be at a reasonable price where he's still making a lot of money, but the Red Sox aren't going nuts. And I think it's going to be a good fit in the end. So, you know, not super optimistic. I don't want that to be misconstrued. But if I had to guess, I still think Bregman to Red Sox.
Yeah, I'm kind of Emmy. Like, it, my thinking right now is that Boris and Bregman have this set price, right? If you meet this price, he will sign the contract. And I don't think that the front office, I don't think that ownership is comfortable with that price tag, and they're willing to kind of sit around and wait in the wings, because there's been nothing so far. We've heard like Detroit's top priority. They're going to go big for him, all this stuff. But at the same time, it's 5 years. And I guarantee you it's either you do, you know, 6 for $180 or like vice. There's some form of meet this pen to paper kind of thing. And I don't think anyone is going to meet that. And then when it all comes down to it, it's going to come down to, do you want to absolutely murder your Hall of Fame hopes by going to Detroit and hit 260 for the rest of your career? Do you want to go to a Toronto team that is literally falling apart after this year and the next? Or do you want to take a little bit less and play for the Red Sox, where you kind of have this leadership role cut out for you? You know the manager. You want to, from all kind of reports, want to be here. And I think that's what it comes down to. I think they're playing a good chicken right now. Why throw your hat in the ring right now with your best offer if he's just going to sit on it until nothing comes about? I think they're playing a very, very smart game of chicken, because I do not think he will actually go to Detroit or Toronto.
You know what does scare me, though? And this is kind of a, it's not a, another, you know, scenario that's not super likely. If the Phillies are able to move Alec Bohm, which is something they've said they want to do, their third baseman currently, then I'd be a little bit concerned, because we know Dave Dombrowski, the Phillies GM, he would not hesitate to give Alex Bregman $200 million at the drop of a hat. Boom, see ya, enjoy Philadelphia. That would scare me. So they are playing this game of chicken, I think, and that's kind of the part that scares me. It's Detroit, who's being most aggressive, and then Philly lurking. The second Alec Bohm gets dealt, I'm in full panic mode as a Red Sox fan. Blue Jays?
Can't forget about the Mets.
Yeah, Mets. I guess the Mets. I think the Mets are really focused on Pete Alonso, and they have Vientos at third.
I think they want an excuse to not bring Pete Alonso back. That's what I think. They might still bring back Alonso, but if they can get Bregman at a good price, I don't think David Stearns wants Pete Alonso. I think he would much rather have the guy who produces basically the same offensive clip, but improves their defense so much more than a lot. Like, he not only kills two birds with one stone for them, move Vientos early to first base.
Oh yeah, he stinks over there. He's not a good defensive third baseman. He's destined to be third or first base DH eventually.
Can I tell you guys the difference, I think, though? Because I do agree with you. I don't think the Red Sox are not interested. And I think that if and by the way, I agree with you guys. I think if Bregman got all offers from the teams that we have laid out there, maybe, I don't know. Let's leave the Mets out of it, because I don't know. Sox versus Mets, there's an interesting case to be made for the Mets. But if you just look at the three of the Sox, Tigers, Blue Jays, obviously, if you're him, and this is a guy who loves to win, has made his career on winning, and has made his career in a ballpark with an incredibly short left field fence that has benefited him greatly, I think the Red Sox would be the obvious choice if the money is equal with those three. So I agree with you in that front. But the difference here between Bregman and JD is you've got a guy in Bregman who, if the market keeps coming down, and Ken Rosenthal touched on this today, where like if the longer guys linger on the market and the more their price drops, the more teams get involved. And for a guy like Bregman, the biggest difference between him and JD is Bregman, he's a third baseman, but we're talking about him playing second too. Like, this is a guy who can be versatile, who can play multiple spots. Whereas JD, the reason that guy didn't have any market was because he was a DH in a time where only half the league had DH options. Like, no, there was no NL team that was going to give that guy a long-term deal. And then obviously you check off all the different teams in the AL that had DHs, there was never going to be much of a market for JD. The Red Sox made a calculated bet there, and they won. I agree. They're probably making that bet again right now, hoping that, hey, Bregman is a guy who values winning and wants to win, and hopefully his market gets to the point where we can pounce and make that offer when that price comes down. That said, man, we've seen them try that with a lot of different guys over the last few years, and it has not worked. The two guys that it has worked on, since like 2017-ish, the two guys that has worked on, JD Martinez worked well, Trevor Story, his market cratered, and it turned out to be for good reason, because it was because of his elbow, and that thing blew out, and he missed a year because of it. So generally, my thing with this is, if the guy's market is coming down, generally there's a pretty good reason it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, with Bregman, you can see it, I think. I mean, his numbers are trending down. He's still a very good player, but his numbers are trending down. He's not hitting lefties like he used to. That's a weird one. I was looking through his numbers today. His career OPS against lefties is 842, but last year it was like 710 or 712. much lower. And that's the third consecutive year that it's been low. So there's some red flags with Bregman. And we talk about him playing second base. He hasn't played there in 6 years. And he's only played, I think, 9 games at second base. It's not like a sure thing that he'll be a good defender at second. I think he'll do okay. I think second base, probably a more difficult position than third. So moving there at age 31, I don't love it, but I could stomach it. It's fine. And it wouldn't be forever, like you alluded to earlier, Gordo. It'd probably be just for a year and then back to third base. Then you have Meyer, Story, Campbell coming in, Devers, DH, whatever. But like you said, there are red flags with Bregman. It's just a big game of chicken. And I maintain, I think 55% confidence that he'll end up with the Red Sox.
That's confidence right there. Here's what I'll tell you, Sammy. One thing that I meant to say before, but I forgot to. I think it's going to get done sooner than you think. And I'm not saying get done to the Red Sox. I just think I think he's going to sign fairly soon. I think maybe I want to say by the end of the weekend, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going to say by the end of this coming week, he'll have a team. And for me, like, I'll go under the assumption that it's not the Red Sox. If it's not Bregman, and you look at Craig Breslow's quote from earlier this week, and I'll read it off. I think I have it right here. He said, "I can say right-handed bats that we feel play at our ballpark are of interest to us." And then he went on to say, "In a perfect world, we're getting elite level production from a right-handed bat in the middle of the lineup." So when I hear the thing about the ballpark, that's, and like, obviously you can read the tea leaves. They're not very in on Anthony Santander.
You want the stats for Bregman at Fenway?
Oh yeah, got him right here. Give them to me.
21 games, 98 plate appearances. He's got a 1,240 OPS, 7 home runs in just 80 at-bats. So, and he's hitting .375 for the batting average, people. So likes Fenway quite a bit.
And I'm sure those numbers are also pretty damn good in the postseason. And one of the things that gave me a little bit of pause on Bregman earlier in the offseason was looking at how many home runs he would have had he played all his games in Houston last year. That ballpark is perfect for him. Fenway, that the Green Monster, I know it's close. It does swallow up some of his home run power. But one thing that gave me a little bit more optimism, Sammy, I don't know if you can pull up his career home road splits with wherever you are right now, but his career home road splits, it's shocking how close they are. Like, this is not a guy who has made his entire career just banging at Houston. Like,
he's actually better. Slightly better on the road. 846 OPS at home, 850 on the road.
That's crazy.
Yeah. You know, remember 2019 World Series? Do you guys remember that? He was destroying the Nationals on the road and then was awful in Houston. That was a big storyline. Like, what's up with Bregman at home? Probably just a coincidence. But point being, this guy doesn't need Houston to be successful. I think he'd get a little bit of a boost at Fenway overall, probably less home runs, but a better overall production. He'd just be peppering the monster constantly. And then that big right field, he'll just deposit singles in there all the time when he's being pitched away. So I love that fit.
Well, you go ahead, Pat. You go ahead. No,
huge reason that Story's market just cratered, because the Coors Field aspect of it, and then you also had the elbow concerns. Those two things alone are worth a giant game. That's why his market cratered. There's nothing minor decline in numbers. He's still a stud defensively. You can nitpick why there's no market, but this isn't like a Story or a Javi Baez who had glaring holes and reasons their markets fell apart.
Well, Pat, the reasons here could be like the decline. Like, you look at the offensive numbers year over year, like there is some pretty obvious decline. It's not like he's becoming a bad player or anything, but he is declining already.
Yeah. I think also super important, and this is why we've heard, Cora is interested in Bregman. He, of course, they have the prior relationship, but this Red Sox team, we keep hearing rumblings, a lot of good guys on the team, but there's not really a vocal leader. And Trevor Story has tried to be that guy. But you can only do so much when you're not on the field. And I know people were saying Kenley Jansen was kind of a leader. He's in the bullpen a lot of the time, or he's in the clubhouse getting ready to go to the bullpen. It's a lot different when you have a guy on the field, place to first, guys, just yelling, chatting it up with the rest of the team constantly. So I think that's a really, really underrated part of what Alex Bregman would bring to the Red Sox, something that every single Red Sox team that has won the World Series has had: a veteran leader, a vocal veteran leader. And you can even say Pedroia for 2018. And I know I just said, oh, he's not on the field, but Pedroia was with the team all year long, yelling, trying to get back on the field. And he, you know, inspiring guy at the very least. So I think that's a very important thing that Bregman would bring to the table with the Red Sox, aside from the production.
I mean, you can hear it. I mean, we've been talking for 20 minutes about this, about Alex, pretty much straight up Alex Bregman, and why that fits at the price point that hopefully would get a deal done. Like, I don't think he's going to need a $200 million commitment to get a deal done. No. What's crazy to me is this is a team, and like, I'll get on my soapbox a little bit with this one, but this is a team that had Sam Kennedy practically unprompted go out there and say, basically, we're all in and we're willing to go over the luxury tax if need be to do what we're setting out to do, which is win the division. 90 to 95 wins. That's what they're talking about. We want to win the division and we're going to spend money to do it. Well, here's, and again, I'll preface it, the offseason is far from over and there are guys that are waiting to be signed that if the Red Sox signed would change this. But to this point, here's the money that's been spent in the division this offseason. Yankees, $235.5 million. Orioles, $58 million. Red Sox, $52.3 million. Blue Jays, $15.7 million. And also begging to spend more at that. And then the Rays, $8.5 million, all to Danny Jansen. But right there, the Red Sox, what, have they spent a dollar beyond? No, okay, Patrick Sandoval was a multi-year commitment. So, and I guess Garrett Crochet technically will add money to the payroll next year, but not very much, unless he's extended, which he hasn't been. But what I'm getting at here is this is a team that went out and said they were going to spend. And the AL East has gotten worse. You have already gotten better. And you're basically in a position to take the kill shot, to grab an elite caliber offensive talent, like right all around player, all around talent, right-handed player, leader of your team, hits the ball, plays great defense, versatile. Like it's everything that they need right now. And he's sitting right there. And by all accounts, he wants to come to your team. And they just have not made the push to do it. And by God, it's time they get uncomfortable. They talked about it. Breslow said it. He said it like 15 times at the winter meetings alone. Get uncomfortable. And they got uncomfortable for Crochet. They did. But we have yet to see this team get uncomfortable financially in a deal that could screw you. That like, oh, like we know we need this guy, but we're gonna overpay to get it done. We have not seen them extend above and beyond. Since what, like David Price? Last time? Yeah, we were like floored by a contract that they signed, and they said they were going to do it. And I'm not at the point where like I'm gonna. I know kind of. I think the way I'm talking kind of sounds like I'm crushing them. It's more so like a setting them up to not be crushed. Because guess what? Like the second Alex Bregman goes off the board, if it's not to the Red Sox, the freak out is going to be crazy. Because
what's plan B? You guys talked about it when I was away. What the hell is plan B? I saw Lou Maloney talking about it. That's the scary thing. And Pat, sorry to interrupt. I know you next, man. But like, what's the backup plan here? If I hear Randall Grichuk's name, my head is going to catch on fire. So, yeah, I guess, okay, you kind of made me nervous now, Gordo.
Yeah, and then, Gordo, one thing that you brought up that I think is like, so paramount here is that Sam Kennedy, unprompted, did not say we are going to allocate resources. We are going to improve this team. We're going to do X, Y, Z, our goal, blah, blah, blah. He, word for word, said spend money. So people on Twitter who were like, they added the best pitcher on the trade market and the highest upside free agent pitcher, but people love to bitch. No, no, no. Those are great moves. No one is calling those bad moves. What I am saying is this team has the potential to be so, so good. And the reason that they're not already to that point is because they have not spent money like they told us they would. That is the big takeaway here. It's not that they're not improving. They're a better team than they were last year. But to this point, the one thing that we were promised, they have not done.
Yeah, we need to see the money gets spent one way or the other. And if it's not on free agents, like, by God, go out and extend Garrett Crochet. Go out and give Roman Anthony that before opening day, before he even steps on a major league diamond extension. Like, you have to go out there and flex. Yeah, the Churio deal. You have to go out there and flex your might. And I can't tell if people are slightly panicky right now because they want to see them spend, or because they actually, I don't think a lot of people are actually that afraid of what this offense could be if they don't get the right bat to put in between Devers and Casas. But just to put it out there real quick, Steamer released their projections for WRC plus for all 30 teams this year. They project the Red Sox 21st out of 30 teams in WRC plus for next year. All right, this 21st, is a team
21st out of 30, and it's an incredibly unbalanced 21st out of 30. So if that team does make it to the playoffs, can you imagine this team makes it to the playoffs and they're in an elimination scenario and you see any left-handed pitcher on the mound for the other team? I would feel terrible. You're looking at, and no offense to this guy, been nice to us, I like him. You're looking at Rob Refsnyder batting third for you in the playoffs right now, if you can get there. That is not okay. I like him as a platoon guy, maybe off the bench.
Sammy,
that's a good role for him. You need something better.
You're down the second best lefty masher in baseball last year among guys who actually played games. Like, I'm not counting Heliot Ramos or whatever from San Francisco. It literally went Aaron Judge, Tyler O'Neill, and that guy's not there. And he's not walking through that door. He's in Baltimore. He's going to be.
He led your team in home runs last year, too. He wasn't just your lefty masher. He also led the team in home runs. And you haven't done anything to replace him.
Only 30 home run guy on the team. And I get it. Like, Roman Anthony and Christian Campbell are expected to debut early in the season. We don't know if they're opening day or not, but they're going to be early on in the season, most likely. Marcelo Meyer, probably second half. I get those guys are coming. But rookies, we see it over and over again. You saw it specifically with Jackson Holliday last year. You cannot count on these guys. And it's not because we don't think they're going to be really good, but not to mention, only one of them is right-handed. So you only have one shot.
Dude, let me quickly put the kibosh on this. I keep seeing a lot of people say, you have the right-handed bat. He's in the organization. It's Christian Campbell. Christian Campbell's going to have a good career. You cannot make that guy the major league bat right off the major league right-handed bat in your lineup right off the rip. He has played 19 games in AAA. That's not fair to him, and that's not saying that I don't think he's going to be good. I do think he's going to be good, but you can't say, hey, man, you're going to bat between Devers and Casas against Tarek Skubal. We need to win this game. Are you 21 yet? Can you drink? Like, that's crazy. You can't do that.
And to boot here, the one thing the Red Sox offense up and down the 40-man roster right now has is major league talent. Like, they do have a depth of major league players. Like, they're not going to have lineups out there where they're putting out bums. But the truth is, if you look at where their lineup is going to be every day, and how, I don't want to say black holes because it's not the right term, but like guys that will step up to the plate and when they do something, it's like, oh, like, good, that guy did something. Like, when Devers does something, it's because you expected it. But like, when Sadon Rafaela does something, when Connor Wong does something, when last year's whoever's, like, as it stands right now, I guess Vaughn Grissom is your opening day second baseman. When he does something, like, these are guys that's going to be a third and maybe even more of your lineup every single day. And yeah, like, sure, if they add Randall Grichuk, like, against lefties, you'll have a couple of guys starting games where you feel pretty good about it. But my God, man, at the end of these games, you need star talent. This is the biggest thing this team is missing is like a legitimate star right-handed bat to play every day.
You thought you were getting Alex Bregman? Here's Randall Grichuk. How's that for a fucking middle finger right to the fan base? I don't even want to talk about it.
I'll tell you, that's the scale. That's the scale. It's the where is this bat going to end up on the Grichuk to Bregman scale? And they, if they want to, they have a chance to make the bat even better than Bregman on the scale. Like, Seiya Suzuki is a better hitter than Alex Bregman. Carlos Correa is a better hitter than Alex Bregman. Luis Robert certainly wasn't last year, but he definitely has higher upside than Bregman. So they could do better if they wanted to. But if they lose out on Bregman, like, this is going to be the hope that we're clinging to, is like, those caliber of guys, and it's trade guys. So it takes two to tango. And by all accounts, it doesn't sound like the Cubs want to trade Seiya Suzuki now that they've traded Bellinger. It doesn't sound, who's the other, Carlos Correa? Like, we've barely heard anything about that. I know we put that out there yesterday, and it's gained some steam a little bit, but it's mainly dealing in hypotheticals that's gaining steam. I know the White Sox are down to trade Robert, but like, they're asking for a lot. And it's like, you're paying for uncertainty and you're going to be paying him money. So like, you That's kind of a tough one to get together. The easiest path is just to stop trying to let the market come to you and go to the market for once. Set
stop
the market.
Being the smartest guy in the room. I hate that.
Get your guy,
man. It's like when Belichick was operating as if Brady was still the quarterback towards the end. He's always trying to out. Just do the obvious good thing that'll make your team better. It's wide open in the American League. So frustrating.
There are people in this organization that really, really want Alex Bregman. You saw it in the story. Yes. Like the thing that's interesting to me is that we know Sam Kennedy wants Alex Bregman, and yet this is how they're operating. It's confusing to me. I don't know. I don't get it. Maybe it'll work out in their favor. Kennedy. You guys are both sitting here predicting that it will work out in their favor. I hope you're right.
Gentle confidence interval. I'm not like they're gonna get this guy. I'm positive. I'm like, if I had to guess, I'd pick Red Sox, but that's like not a confident guess.
What? And this is just like the cherry on top of the scary Sunday. So I apologize. We talked about the pitching staff. We didn't say it about the lineup, but it's true. There are plenty of spots in that lineup that can very easily regress. Like, Jaron is a phenomenal baseball player. The chances he replicates this past season are not great. He'll have a great season, but...
No, you're right, Pat. Like, no one screen. Like, he had, like, a once-in-a-career type season.
Jaron, you don't have Tyler O'Neill, which is a huge right-handed bat. If Story goes down, you're down another right-handed bat. You're banking big time on Casas and Story being healthy. You're banking on Raffy obviously being healthy. You're banking on Willy Abreu basically replicating what he did against righties because he cannot hit lefties. And you're just praying to God that Sedan Rafaela can hit 60. Like, they were top 10 in runs scored last year. Just as easily as they did that, they could very easily be bottom 12 next year. With very feasible regression in what is currently in the line.
If you're a facilities manager at a university, you know students rely on the cafeteria for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and the occasional late night snack. So when a dishwasher breaks down and dirty plates pile up, the mess hall can turn messy in the blink of an eye. Enter Grainger. With over a million industrial-grade products and fast delivery, the product you need now is never far away. So you can turn that dishwasher back into a lean, clean washing machine. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I was looking back at... I was trying to find my old tweet about... Because, like, I rarely... go in and like outwardly criticize, like I'll question things that they do that I don't necessarily agree with, but I rarely outwardly criticize. And like, I went back and looked at my tweet after the Sedan extension happened. I feel like I was like pretty, I don't know. Maybe it's too early to judge on this, but I basically said, what the hell are they doing? And it does. I don't know. Do you guys like? What do you guys think you're going to get from Sedan Rafaela offensively over the next, let's say, 4 years? Just the immediate future.
Well, I'll go next year. I mean, you guys might think I'm crazy. I could see him being a 2020 guy next year with great defense. Oh, but man, I could also see him. I could also see him hitting 198. But I mean, he was really bad in the last month and a half of the season. So I feel like that's what people remember. But he hit 15 home runs last year, stole 19 bases. That's not far off from 2020. That's as a rookie. So I don't know. It's not that crazy. The thing that would be weird to me is if this extension has already happened, if he wasn't an everyday guy, then why'd you? I guess the way you can look at the extension,
that's what I'm saying,
Sammy.
It was
unnecessary. They didn't need to do it at the time. But
can I read you a stat here? This was from Thomas Nestico, I think, at TJ Stats today. He posted the highest highest swing rate outside the zone today. The percentage of pitches outside the strike zone that the player swings at. And only four players in baseball swung at more than 40% of pitches outside the strike zone that they saw. Yainer Diaz, 42.6%. Salvador Perez swung at 42.9% of pitches that he saw outside the zone. Ezekiel Tovar swung at 43.8% of pitches he saw outside the strike zone. the number one Sadon Rafael. You remember that number? I read you 43.8. Sadon Rafael swung at the most or the highest percentage of pitches outside the strike zone last year, 46.1. So a full 2.5% above the next highest guy.
But all three of those guys you mentioned along with Sadon, those are all good hitters, all good ball players. So it's just part of his game. I think we just have to live with he's batting ninth. He's here for his defense. If he can be, you know, he's never going to be a high batting average guy. The old school people are never going to like him offensively. He's going to be probably pretty similar to Jackie, less, you know, a little more power, less consistent. But I don't know. I like Rafaela. I still believe in him. I don't think 2020 is far-fetched at all. He almost did it as a rookie. So we'll see, man. It's just the timing of the extension. I didn't hate it at the time. It's just, it's odd. It's not a lot of money, though, so I don't think it's a huge deal in the end.
I just never understood why they had to pay double what the Tigers paid Colt Keith. Like, Sadon at the time of the extension had an OPS of like 630. Like, he had yet to show that he could play in the majors yet. And the Tigers paid Colt Keith like $23 million when he hadn't played a game yet. I just don't understand why Sadon playing like 30 games at the in the bigs made him worth double what Colt Keith got. And now it's like you're paying him all this money and like, I don't know what the team is thinking, but you certainly see a lot of fans that are hesitant to put him in a utility role, which is what I would do. I would put him in a utility role and make him earn a spot after the year he had last year. And I'm not saying it was an objectively bad year, but it's just that the year he had does not scream you have to be in the starting lineup every day. I really do think he is in the starting lineup every day, in part because he hits right-handed. But if you're not hitting well right-handed,
Push back on that a little bit. I mean, where would that team be in 2024 without Sadon Rafael? He filled in at shortstop. Keep in mind,
that's the utility. That's what he should do.
But I don't like when players are used in ways when their value isn't maximized. And now Rafael had to be used as a shortstop last year. They didn't really have a choice. The other options were not cutting it. If you use him as a utility guy, you're not getting close to enough value out of him for that contract and what you expect out of him. I like him. Bottom of the lineup, in center field, every night. Be that Jackie Bradley Jr. Every time a ball is hit in the air, you know for a fact it's getting caught. I think that's hugely important at Fenway with the size of right field as well. And I know Willier Abreu is a great defender himself, so you don't really need that insurance. But you remember, Jackie Bradley Jr. in center, Mookie in right. That was beautiful.
It worked because they had studs in the middle of the lineup.
Right, and that's why
one guaranteed meaty bat. Like I think Costas is going to be amazing. I hope Jaron Duran is going to replicate it. I like to think he's going to have a really good season. But you only have one guaranteed meat bat, and it's Devers. That having that 9-hole Jackie Bradley type works when you've got Xander and Mookie and JD. Like you've got those guys.
Which brings us back to our original point, just sign Alex Bregman.
But is Bregman that, though? Bregman's a really good player.
It's close enough with all the talent they have, like Duran. You're going to be Duran, Devers, Bregman, Casas, Story, Abreu. You have Yoshida, maybe. That's a lot of upside. I think they'll find. And it's at Fenway, too. Like you got one of the most offensive ballparks. Plus, 2018 team, their pitching staff, like, very good. This pitching staff 2024, I think it's similar. So we'll see. That 2018 bullpen was a little shaky throughout the regular season, if you remember.
That's why they all got pitched in the bullpen. That's why all the starters were the relievers in the postseason.
Right, yeah. Cora masterclass, that playoff. Yeah. Brilliant. But, dude, yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. It's scarier when you don't have those big boppers in the lineup. I just think if you're not, you know, loading the lineup a la 2004 style, then maybe defense and pitching is the way to go. It's not traditional Red Sox baseball, but it's 2025, man. It's a new world, a brave new world.
I got a fun hypothetical for you guys, right? Let's say that on the very first day of the offseason, the Mets signed Juan Soto, right? Is Willy Adames a Boston Red Sox?
Oh, that's an interesting question.
Maybe. He sounds pretty good right now, doesn't he?
I was thinking about that today. I still say no. I still say I wouldn't have signed that deal, and I'd rather pay it. I'd rather pay that money to Bregman than Adames.
How much did he get? What was the Adames contract?
182.
I'll pull it up.
It was 180 something. I know that.
Everyone's going to 182 for 7 years. Yeah, that's a lot. So I don't know. Also, his defense regressed quite a bit. He was 68th percentile OAA. I wish my brain could remember important stuff. Like I'm able to remember Willie Adames's 2024 OAA. Stupid. But yeah, I guess I agree with you, Gordo. Still no, but sounds a little better.
Little bit better than it did. Like there was a point in time in the offseason where we were definitely not sold on Bregman either. And that might even be putting it lightly.
Well, I mean, I was always sold on Bregman. It was the age. I've just come around to not caring about the age anymore. Remember, we were saying perfect fit in every way, but he's going to be 31 on opening day. So I've just cared less about that.
There was the ask. Like remember, there was that rumor that he was seeking like the Manny Machado deal, which is $350 million.
Oh,
like,
I thought you said. Yeah. I thought you said it's his ass. Like what's wrong with his ass?
That too.
You are a Vlad guy. Vlad's.
I know it is way meatier. But yeah, no, I was not. I was definitely not sold on Bregman, and I still am not sold on Bregman if it's going to take like $235 million or something.
No, it won't. No, it won't. There's no way.
No, it's not gonna. But like, yeah, if you've told me at the start of the offseason you can get it for 175, I would say that would make me a little bit uncomfortable. But once I knew Juan Soto wasn't coming to Boston, I would say, yeah, go for it. Like that is a deal that is not going to kill you. It's not going to hamstring you. It's not going to prevent you from making a run at Vlad, or at least it shouldn't.
Okay, I got a question, and I posed this on Twitter the other day. Let's say the Red Sox sign Alex Bregman, and they add one more reliever, you know, in the range of good to very good. How many teams in the American League would be better than them? Actually, hold on. Let me take a step back. Forget the reliever. Just Alex Bregman. For the sake of the argument, if the Red Sox sign just Alex Bregman and do nothing else for the rest of the offseason, how many teams in the American League are better than them?
Do the other teams do things? Like, there are teams out there. Like, there's players out there. Like, the Orioles are connected to, like, Jack Flaherty and stuff.
Sure. Give the Orioles.
Like, they're connected to Cease.
Let's just, for the sake of the argument, say all the teams stay the same. Red Sox add Bregman.
I mean, what do you think?
The answer is one.
Is it? Who is it?
It's the Yankees, just because they just had the postseason. That's a confident group. They've guys who have got I know they lost Soto, and I don't think they're better than they were last year. But my money would be on them having a better regular season, even with Bregman.
But is that it? Like you're making his point, and to be honest with you, I think there are other teams that you could point to and say that they could be like. But there's that you may not even have that as a team. Like there may be no teams that you can confidently definitively say in the American League would be better than the Red Sox. Like I think the Yankees would be.
Right.
If the Orioles add one pitcher, I think they would be. I think
this is the greater Guardians, point, though.
The Guardians very the much could be.
No.
Well, you like the Orioles way more than I do. Orioles do nothing for me.
If they get a frontline pitcher, they're better than the Red Sox.
Jack Flaherty?
If Jack Flaherty has the year he had last year, they're better than the Red Sox.
Maybe. I don't
know. And that's not even an insult. They were great last year.
Yeah. Fair. But that's my point. This is my point, is that it's wide open in the American League. If there was ever a time not to be tepid and scared to spend money, it is right now. Like right now. And I keep talking to people online. They go like, oh, I think they should wait. They could make a big splash down the road. Wait for the young guys. What are you waiting for? What is the point of playing Major League Baseball? To win games and hopefully make the playoffs and then make the World Series and win the World Series. The point of baseball is not to have the best farm, not to wait on guys to come up so you can get better surplus value or whatever the hell we're talking about. It's to win games. It's time to do that. I'm so sick of this. Just sign Alex Bregman for the fourth time I've said it today.
Question for you guys, Sam. You just brought it to mind for me. You said like it's not about having the best farm. What did you guys think of today? That and like obviously Fenway Fest is coming up about a week and a half. It's a week from Saturday, and the Red Sox today put out that the prospects are going to be there. The big three and a few others are going to be there. What did you make of that? Like, was that just like them announcing it? Like they were we'll announce that later as our last second ticket push because they know people love the prospects. Or is that like there was part of me that was like, oh, like we're really like they said we were going to win the division and now they're back to push. And like, and I love these guys, like these guys are awesome, but I don't want to see them pushing the prospects. I want to see them pushing out. We got these new guys like, hey, Garrett Crochet, Walker Buehler, and Alex Bregman are all going to be there. That's why you should go. But now it's like, we're pushing the prospects again. Come meet Anthony and Campbell and Meyer. And I love those guys. They're going to be really good. They're going to be huge parts of Red Sox history, hopefully. But they said they were going to win the division. I want them trotting out the pieces that are going to help them win the division.
Yeah, I mean, you could look at it a few different ways. Like what you just said, Gordo, I think that makes sense. It's kind of like, oh, come on. I'm excited about the prospects too, but we want to be talking about winning games in Major League Baseball. You could also look at it from the Red Sox marketing perspective. There's a lot of people who are interested in prospects, people who would go to, what's it called, Fenway Fest?
Yeah.
Those are a lot of those people are interested in, you know, meeting the future of the team. So it might just be a way to get a niche group of people to come. I don't know. I don't read too much into it, but it is kind of like one of those classic Red Sox eye roll things where you're like, dude, just give us the major league talent. And I don't know if I've mentioned this. Maybe sign Alex Bregman.
What?
Yeah. I just thought of that just now. So
is he a free agent, Sammy?
No, he's playing in the KBO. They would have to send money to Korea.
Does he have like a stipulation in his can he leave? Like, I know those, a lot of the NBA players that go overseas sign their deals with stipulations that if the NBA teams call, they can leave. Do they even have that?
Yeah, I mean, who knows? You'd have to ask, I don't know, some guy would know, some guy from Korea. Ask him. I just want them to friggin' sign Alex Bregman. I'm sick of talking about how good of a fit he is. It's like, how many times can we say the same thing? Just do it already. Fuck.
Pat, what do you think about the prospects thing?
I didn't read much into it. I think it's just, I will say this. I would have felt much differently if that headliner marketing thing. Like if that was in tandem, like when they first announced who was going to be there, if there was the roster and the prospect, that to me, they're like the draw. Now that it's like coming right beforehand, it matters much.
Yeah, I guess. Did they just add them? Did they add them or did they just publicize it today?
I bet it was planned. I bet it was all right, we'll announce the roster of this date, and then about a weekend and change before, we'll announce that the prospects are going to be there and try to get a last second batch of tickets, which I don't know. It doesn't, regardless of what the plan was, I don't know. Maybe it's a stretch, but I can promise you that, like, back in 2007, they would have pushed Manny and Poppy and Schilling and all these guys are going to be there, your favorite players. They weren't pushing Jacoby Ellsbury and Dustin Pedroia. These guys who are Pedroia, where he's going to be our opening day second baseman. Ellsbury is going to come up in the middle. Like they wouldn't have pushed those guys. Like,
no,
it would have been Josh Beckett. They wouldn't be pushing Clay Buchholz. It would have been Kevin Youkilis. It would have been Mike Lowell. So I don't know. I understand that the game is viewed differently today. And like these prospects, even though they're just prospects, they are household names and like they will sell tickets. So I understand it. But at the same time, it's like, oh, like you told us you wanted to win the division. I'd be less mad about it if they signed Bregman. I will say
I still don't know. I still don't know how many people know who the prospects are, because we live on like Twitter where people know who the prospects are. If you go to Fenway and talk to 50 people, I don't know if like half of them would know who Roman Anthony is. Like that's for the hardcore fans.
No,
I think you'd be surprised how many people are casual observers of baseball. I mean, think about how much we do a podcast. We're talking about it online all the time.
We watch
162 games a year. Like that's abnormal.
I think people know. I think people don't know beyond, like, I don't think everyone knows Christian Campbell, but I think Marcelo Meyer and Roman Anthony are big enough names that have been big enough names for long enough and have stayed big names.
I think people would know of them. If you know what I mean. Like, I've heard that name, rather than like, oh, yeah, dude, I loved how he went up to AAA and he looked good against lefties. No, that's you. Yeah.
No, one would give you that. No one would give you that. Enough said. We should go to enough said.
Yeah.
You got anything?
I got quite an interesting one. So I think I mentioned this to you guys. I got a for Christmas slash Hanukkah. I got this watch from my girlfriend. It's a nice gift. And it's called a Casio F91W. And I was like, oh, this is a cool watch. And I Googled it just to like learn about the features and everything rather than read the really small directions. And I found it has its own Wikipedia page. And I was like, that's interesting. Clicked it, scrolled down. It has its own section titled Uses in Terror. And that's because this watch is widely known as the watch worn by Osama bin Laden. So I have the same watch that bin Laden had. And I don't know how to feel about that. Obviously, nobody's a fan of that guy. But I kind of just, it put my brain in a pretzel. I don't know. How should I feel about it?
Did she know when she bought it that it was Osama's watch?
I think she did because her brother has one too. I think it was kind of like a bit, but it also Obama has it too. Barack Obama wore it, and there was one other famous person. It was like Bin Laden, Obama, and one other guy who is like not. God, I gotta find like yeah here uses in terror. Just
is Obama listed in the uses in terror?
According to secret documents in Guantanamo Bay released by The Guardian, it's declared the sign of Al-Qaeda. Jeez. Oh.
Jesus.
Yikes.
But bright side, it is a really cool watch. I'm not a big watch guy, but this one is like it's water resistant. It's not waterproof, but it's water resistant. It's light. So I might become a watch guy. Just don't Google the watch name. Oof.
Wow. Yeah. You had a hell of a holiday season, man. I hope you had a damn good time in Seattle.
Seattle was cool. I like Seattle. I went to a Kraken game. I don't know if you guys are.
Yeah, we know that Sammy had a great game because of a certain someone who made it on Seattle TV.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I was on. There I am. And there's my little cousin watching me. He's a Bruins fan, but he moonlights as a Kraken fan.
That's and, funny.
Yeah,
as well.
they stuck the camera in our face. And I texted my cousin who lives in Seattle, and I was like, I think we're going to be on TV in like 2 seconds. Pay attention. And he got that shot. So I feel bad for blocking my girlfriend's face entirely. It's all good.
Well, that's what she gets for making me look like Osama.
Yeah. Damn. Bin Laden watch.
Damn.
Damn. Yeah, he bums me out.
I have two. I have a true enough set. I have one more of like a mini news nugget. I'll explain. My upset. I think that the Texas Rangers are going to run away with the AL West this year. I have loved everything they have done. That is a very, very, very good baseball team. The Rangers rotation right now is Cody Bradford, who had about 15, 16 last year. So cool. Healthy DeGrom, Nathan Eovaldi, Dane Dunning, John Gray, Jack Leiter, sucks, Kumar Rock. Like, that is a legit pitching staff. The bullpen's fine. Got Kyle Higashioka, traded for Jake Berger, signed Jacques Peterson to be DH, and you get the second year of Evan Carter, Wyatt Langford. I guess you see what you have in Adolis. Simeon Seager, I love roster. I think that team is head and shoulders above every other team in the West. Sorry to Kylie's Mariners. They just don't have any form. Which brings me to my second enough said, which is more nugget. Hi Seung Kim, the Korean second veteran, his posting window closes tomorrow. So he will likely sign actually the day that this releases. So
Mariners, yeah, for sure. Yeah, he was Hi-Sung Kim. He a teammate of Alex Bregman's in Korea. Just don't Google that either. Don't Google my watch. Don't Google the watch. And don't Google Alex Bregman's stats. Alex Bregman, Korea. We are not making this up, I promise.
But yeah, something to watch out for.
I agree with you, Pat. I think the Rangers are going to be great. That said, I'm always I just until their pitching staff doesn't look like it does, I'm still always going to go into the years predicting the Mariners to win that division. And I understand that I'll probably be wrong every single time, but I'm not going to stop. So I'm just going to keep doing it. Minoff said, shout out Lucas Giolito for telling the world that he's healthy for like the third time. And hopefully people actually listen this time. He is healthy. He's going to have a full spring training and he's going to start the season in the rotation barring setback. So shout out to him. Glad that he did that. And secondly, Carlos Narvaez probably going to be the backup catcher. I almost said starting backup catcher. He's probably going to be the backup catcher. Breslow said it, during his press availability. I am totally cool with that. Think they could definitely upgrade the starting catcher spot. We talked about this, not publicly, privately a lot, when it got announced. And we do agree that that starting catcher spot is an area that they should look to improve. But the backup spot, I actually am pretty high on Narvaez, not for the offense, even though he hit well in AAA and hit really well, what was it, the Dominican Winter League, or was it the AFL? I forget. He had great stats. I think it might have been the AFL.
One of the winter leagues.
But it's more for the defense, which we've been saying. We just need the backup catcher to be a defense-first guy, and they've got that, and he's young, and he's a former Yankee, and I love that, and hopefully he's good, because I love when former Yankees come to the Red Sox and are good. So we'll see down the line about the starting catcher slot, but I think, even though I see a lot of people hoping that the Red Sox sign a backup catcher, unless it's on a minor league deal, I'm actually pretty okay with Narvaez as the backup.
Yeah, I think Narvaez as a backup is good, but overall, that's not the worst catching tandem in baseball, but it is dangerously close to the worst catching tandem in baseball. As much as I think Narvaez could be a good, like, backup catcher.
What backup could change your mind on that, though, Sammy? Like,
no, it's not the backup. See,
exactly.
Narvaez because, well, I would like Narvaez much more if there were like a salty veteran who was very good at playing the position in front of him that he could learn from, or like not feel pressure to be the defensive guy, or, you know, just take some of the pressure off him. And I like Connor Wong as a baseball player. I just don't love him as a starting catcher. He can move around the field. That's good. A little bit of speed, a little bit of pop.
I think there's going to be a path at some point for them to improve that. Maybe not before opening day, but like at some point in this team's window, I think there's going to be a path for them to improve that spot if Connor Wong doesn't take a step forward this year defensively.
Yeah, I would trade so much for like a young, like starting quality catcher. That's a good topic for another day. What would we do at catcher?
Yeah. One guy who was available this offseason that would have been like a perfect starter ahead of Narvaez would have been like a Travis d'Arnaud. Like, d'Arnaud is like the kind of guy
who can play Narvaez. They didn't even like glance at him. Well, actually, no, nobody did. The Angels were like, that's our guy.
I miss those days. Remember when the Angels were the only team that had signed anybody? That was fun.
Kikuchi and
they traded for Soler.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What a stupid team.
We would have been talking about Jorge Soler as a trade option at this point in the offseason had he not been traded. But yeah, just for the love of God, get a really good right-handed bat. If it's not Bregman, get freaking Seiya Suzuki and Carlos
Soler. One more time, sign Alex Bregman.
Yeah, we're going to end it on that. So do that. Thank you for tuning in. Episode 166 of Play Tested. We appreciate it. Remember, subscribe wherever you're getting your podcasts. Rate 5 stars on all your podcast platforms. Find us on YouTube, on WEI's page. We've got the Play Tested podcast playlist there. You can find all of our episodes. Hit the thumbs up on those. We really appreciate it. Subscribe to WEI and find us on the socials at Play Tested on both Twitter and Instagram. For Sammy and for Pat, it's been fun. Joe, we appreciate, as always, doing an awesome job producing. It's Gordo here for Play Tessie, this edition, episode 166. We'll be back in your ears on Monday, barring an emergency podcast. I'll always give that stipulation. I always hope we have one. We have had a couple. Hopefully, we have one or two more this offseason. Fingers crossed. But till next time, whenever that is, thanks for tuning in to this edition of Play Tessie. Peace.